Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast for bye week 2016. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who on Friday night was arrested for scalping tickets at the EJ Witten game. It's Adam Rosenbachs.
Mate, I thought there was a lot of money to be made. I didn't realise what the game was about, and I was collecting for my own foundation, the Ricky Nixon Foundation. Which houses schoolgirls in hotel rooms.
It's a boarding school.
When they've got nowhere to be, yeah. It's a great foundation, and I collected a lot of money for it. And I don't believe I should have been arrested.
That's awesome. Did you watch the game yourself? Our friend Fev played in it.
No, he was commentating.
Yeah, but he played as well.
I didn't see that bit. I just saw
Kicked the winning goal in the shootout. We can talk about that in a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw a little bit. It's weird watching people commentate a fun game. Like, it's really hard to do. It's like commentating Globetrotters. You're just like, I think they could get up here. You know? Like, you kind of know the outcome.
I think the general's a Jew, man.
Yeah.
The general's a Jew.
And I was upset that I'd laid a lot of money at the tab on that game. And
oh, yeah. Could you bet on it?
You'd fucking hope not.
Jesus. I suppose you're a bit
could.
Loose.
Imagine you blew your house on it. You're like, fuck. I thought the All-Stars were going to get up.
Did you see David Roden do it through the worm?
I did see David Roden do the worm.
It's pretty
and
impressive.
And he did his knee doing it.
Did he?
No.
Oh. That'd be quite fun, though. I mean, you know, if the game's a bit dull, maybe one thing they could bring in, go umpires, do the worm, if they score a goal.
Why don't they just mic up players during the game like they do?
Oh, like normally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to hear what Zach has to say.
Zach Dawson.
Or just like, I'm on the bench again. Yeah. Yeah, haven't got much of it. Haven't seen too much of the ball today. Oh, God. Now, obviously, the huge event of last night, Adam, we should talk about that absolutely. Stop the Nation. In fact, I think people were saying, you know, can inspire future generations.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've needed it for a long time.
Captivated the whole nation. Last night, Dane Zorko won the Lions BNF.
Yeah.
So, kudos to him.
People will be asking in years, where were you the night that Zorko won the BNF at Brisbane?
It was a four-way tie last year. Yeah, I know. They had four players that played well.
Mate, you're denigrating one of our guest teams.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Gee, everyone's played for everyone. Anyway. I played 200 games in North Melbourne in the 70s.
Did you?
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck, mate. Were you on the elephant?
No, that was... Yeah, don't talk about Colin Sylvie like that. We'll bring our first special guest, do you think?
Yes, let's get the show on the road because our first major guest, Brendan Favola, has to leave. He's a dad, man. He's a dad. He's got Father's Day duty, so it's an absolute pleasure that he can jump up here. So we need to get the show on the road
Do we bring on Damo?
Oh, absolutely, we bring on Damo, yeah.
And Fev as well?
Let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Why not? Yeah, we're fucking organised.
Well, yeah. This is like grand final day up here.
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Please welcome on stage our two very special guests, comedian Damien Callinan and the Fevolution, Brendan Favola.
Yeah.
How are you, folks? Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
I just realised I've got my wallet, my computer, and my laptop up here. Computer and laptop.
Don't touch his wallet, Damo.
Yeah.
Everyone knows you don't do that. You want to touch a man's wallet, Fev?
Mate, I don't have a wallet because I lost it. And I hate having wallets.
Uh-huh.
I just put the cash in my pocket and you take your card out and you can't lose it because it's in the pocket. But I got it for Father's Day today. I got a new wallet from the kids. So I got the...
But you said you hate wallets.
Yeah, I do.
You say you hate wallets.
Your kids give
a shit present.
Yeah, so
I got the wallet, which is wallets.
Yeah, so there you go. I got the new wallet. So see how long I can have that for.
You're going all right.
Yeah, fucking flying. Anyway, Brisbane's not my team anyway. Just thought I'd let you know that.
That's good.
Just quietly.
How many games didn't you play for Brisbane?
Oh, I played 7. I didn't even unpack my suitcase. But they paid me. They did pay me for 3 years, which was great. And then Vossi got sacked for hiring me, and I got sacked as well. So it worked out perfectly. Yeah.
Do you still talk to Vossi?
No.
Right.
Yes.
Do you remember your number?
5. Yes, I was number 5. Mitch Robinson's got that now. Yeah. And he's not fucking well either. He's an ex-teammate. So.
It was aspirational number 5 you picked that. About the number of games I'll play.
I actually won a 25. A bloke by the name of Bart McCulloch had it.
Legend of the game.
I walked into the club and said, mate, obviously that's my number.
Yeah.
You know, can I have it? And he was on a rookie list and he said no. Wow. And I said, well, you're never going to fucking wear it. So I was just going to wait to the next year and go for... That's why I had 5, because obviously just take the 2 off. But
yeah, or have a lopsided and I said to
him,
next to it.
Well, I said to him, I'm going to get it next year because you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is like the second day I was there. We both got sacked the same day. Wow. So, yeah, that didn't work out well.
Imagine the media's running waiting for Bart McCulloch to come out of the cab.
Yeah,
if he was good enough to do sportsman's nights, he'd be able to tell that story.
Yeah.
Taking your number.
Now, you started in a blaze of glory. Was it when you were younger and they said, oh, you got to play on New Year's Eve in 1999? Were you like, oh, fuck that. It's party
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I did, yes.
Yeah. And you kicked 10?
12.
12,
It was the millennium bug that caused it.
Yeah.
I've read that chapter of the book, though, Fev. You did still manage to go out and have a cheeky night that night.
Yeah, we did, yeah. And the day of, so obviously New Year's Eve, no one wants to play. I was an 18-year-old kid. Still in high school, so...
How many people turned up to that game? How many sad people rocked up to a New Year's Eve?
There was like 50,000.
Fuck, that's a lot of sadness, isn't it?
A lot of sad people.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of sad people. And my mate had a party which started about 12 o'clock down at Hallam where I was from, and I thought, oh, I can't really drink because I've got to play footy. So I had 2 bourbon, 2 cans of Jim Beam. Pre-game. I had 1 each hour. I left at 2, had to be at the ground at, I think it was 6:30, start to be there at like 4.
Yeah.
So on the way into the MCG, I was pretty bit peckish because I don't really eat on game day.
Yeah.
I just have cans of bourbon.
No, you're so professional.
I pulled into the Clarendon Street, you know, near the Star by the McDonald's, had 2 McChickens and went to the game, kicked 12, and I was like, fuck, this is a great emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it for the next 2 years. It didn't really work again. True story. Love McChickens.
You're going to bring back the New Year's Eve fixture? Is that going to be a thing?
It's about time. People are calling for it.
We haven't missed it. Yeah.
Much like a bye week.
Fuck Good Friday. So the siren goes at midnight.
Fuck Good Friday.
Yeah.
No one cares about that.
Who should be the traditional teams, though?
Port Adelaide and Brisbane. Straight off the bat. 2 places where there's nothing.
Yeah.
Where there's fuck all to do in New
Zealand. They played in Perth.
Yeah. Now, I'm obviously a huge Carlton fan. Who was your favourite coach at the Blues?
My favourite.
You started under Parko?
Yes, I had David Parker, my first coach, and I literally got drafted in year 11. So my first year of AFL footy was going to be in year 12. And when when I walked in, I walked straight in his office and he said, what are you going to do next year? I said, well, playing footy.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And he goes, no, school-wise. I said, oh, I'm not, obviously not going to go back to school because...
Yeah. Well, you put your PhD on hold
I'm playing AFL footy, and little did I know that David Parkin's on the board of the Australian Education Committee. He's a fucking lawyer, lecturer. He does everything at Melbourne Uni. I'm like, fuck. So I went back to school, and in year 12, you do 6 subjects. So I did, obviously, English, which is a given. Did PE, outdoor ed, which I'm an athlete, so I fucking shouldn't fail that. And then the next 3, I did geography. I got no idea how to get my way around. Biology, I still don't know what the fuck that is. And mass methods, and I can't add up. But they're all Carlton supporters. So I gave them memberships, jumpers, and I got all A's. My mum thought I was a genius. The footy club thought I was that smart. And I bluffed my way through high school. It was brilliant. But he was my first coach. Then I had Dennis. Oh, no, I had Wayne Britton. He was no good. And then I had Dennis, who was great.
You loved Dennis, didn't you?
I loved Dennis. Yeah. Dennis loved me.
And he loved you, yeah. Wasn't there the story about you walking out of the first meeting with him saying the coach loves me, jumping up and down?
Pretty much. No, actually, the way it happened, I got sacked the day before by Wayne Britton. And 24 hours later, it's a long story, but 24 hours later, I was in the same room and Dennis Pagan was in there saying, I'm going to be the coach and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you're going to play 22 games no matter what. And I thought, fuck, how good's this? Got him wrapped around my finger already.
Yeah. I can have three McChickens.
Yeah. Well, talking about McChickens, I walk out of the room and big fat Lance Schnitzel, our captain, he was sitting in the foyer waiting to go in.
Yeah.
And he goes, what's he like? Because Dennis Pagan's pretty revered, 7 prelims, 2 grannies, all the North blokes talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
About how scary he was. And I said, mate, fuck, got him bluffed, playing 22 games next year. Lance was pretty lazy, I think you can tell. I said, mate, you'll love him. And he didn't say anything. And I'm like, mate. And I got tapped on the shoulder and it was Dennis behind me. He said, mate, do you want to get sacked twice in 2 days? And I'm like, shit, not a real good start. Then I had Rats. Rats was a great coach. Did some good things at Melbourne, did some good things with us, and now doing a really good stuff with the Hawks.
Yeah.
The boys love him there, and he got the boot as well. And then I had Vossi, who was... Oh, hello. Sorry, I actually forgot about this today, so I'm getting hammered. I was actually out for lunch with my family.
That's his kids just checking if he still owns the wallet.
You still got your wallet now?
It was Alex. Bring water home.
Wait a second, there's a tap, isn't there?
She doesn't like, mate. Mount Franklin water, she won't drink anything else. It fucking cost a fortune at the survey too. Like $7. Fuck.
Expensive. And so who was something?
No, let's keep talking about Mount Franklin.
Mount Franklin's a fucking rich joint.
Oh, dude,
mate.
Who were some of your mates at the club, the good mates?
Hey, Scotland. I was out with him last night, actually. He's a good man. I was with Kudo as well. Kudo's a good fella. Ryan Houlihan, who I still play footy with now at Deer Park. We've got our grand final on Sunday.
You said he was the best kick.
Best kick ever. Yep. Brilliant kick. I played with Simon Black and all those sort of players, Lukey Power, Ratton Bradley, and he's hands down. Scott Camporelli, beautiful kick, but
yeah.
Scott... Hoops was just a beautiful kick.
Was it Ryan Houlihan that you maybe wandered around a university
campus
with? Yes.
And Matty Lappin?
Matty Lappin. Yep. That was their fault. this is live, isn't it?
No.
No, we pressed record. We're recording.
Yeah, so I won't go into that story. But if it was just the room, I could probably tell it. But, yeah, it was their fault, sort of.
So you let the fire extinguishers off in Melbourne Uni, is that right?
Yeah. That was fun. Well, kids.
And that's because they wouldn't let him in.
Well, it was supposed to be. It was the foam ones. Like, it was like a thing that everyone did. It was the foam. It was like, woo.
Yeah.
But the one we did, we got the wrong one. It was water. So, yeah. Point blank.
Right.
It hurts a little bit, I think. So, we fucked that up. But anyway, kids. It was fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, next question.
Now, we were reminiscing about your time in Africa.
Africa, yes.
Earlier this year. King of the Jungle.
Yes.
Better than Brownlow?
Brownlow, yeah. Are you saying to win one or what I did at the Brownlow?
King of the Jungle or Brownlow? Which one was better?
I was pretty good at the Brownlow. No, King of the Jungle, fuck. Anyone can win a Brownlow. Look at Shane Woe Woden. There's a lot of people that, you know, a lot of great players haven't won one, but geez, when you looked at the crew that I went in with, I knew as soon as I walked in the jungle, I had everyone covered, and I was going to win because it was Warnie.
Yeah. How did you think you'd beat Warnie? Why did you think?
I just got him covered.
Yeah.
No, I actually thought he was going to win, to tell you the truth, but it was good to be. I was with, he had a poker night last night down in Mornington for breast cancer. So there was a lot of ex-footy players down there, and we had a good night. But Warnie's a great fella, big chief who was in there and a role player. He's a great man. Little Anthony Kalia, who never thought I'd be mates with little Anthony, because he's a little dude about that tall and sings, and I never, ever, ever would have crossed paths. But from the first second we spoke to each other, we instantly became like best mates, and we still hang out a lot now, and he's met all the family and the kids. And
what didn't you think you'd like about him? His music?
Well, his music. I'm not a music person, but I work on the radio. I don't know how the fuck I do that. But
do you hate Mike Brady?
Who's Mike Brady?
That's blasphemous in this town.
Yeah. Oh, is he singing Ghazali?
Yeah.
I had to think about that. I don't really like music too much, so we never really crossed paths, but he's a ripper. I absolutely love that man. Who else was good in there? Who else was in there? Val off Prisoner. She's crazy. She was lovely. She just did not give a shit about anyone or anything.
Now, you lost 17 kilos, you were saying.
I did, yes.
That's a lot to lose.
Yeah, it's come back on pretty quick. I thought it was the biggest loser. I didn't realise, because I wanted to lose weight, because I was 121 kilos, and I got the show wrong, and it was in the African jungle. But 17 kilos, I lost 17.7, so I come out at about 102.8. Warney lost a fair bit. He lost 15 or 14. And
was he? I heard rumours. Is he allowed on the darts when he was in?
Yeah,
the
Warney? I darted. We all darted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've given up 4 weeks. Thank you. Yeah. No worries. But I'd been smoking for about 10 years, and
so would you smoke after a game?
Yeah, before. Yeah. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. But yeah, we could have a dart. There was a little place where you walk out, but you only had like a couple of minutes, so you'd be...
Yeah, chowing it down.
But
yeah.
It was good because it was actually quiet time, but you couldn't go out together. It had to be individual, so...
Okay.
Because you couldn't talk.
Collude.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
So we'll get back to Africa, but in your playing days, how many players would be smokers?
I think there was a few, especially once everyone was pissed. You'd have a couple of cheeky darts, I suppose, but not many. Back in the old days, they did a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think too many do it now.
Yeah, everyone who doesn't barrack for Hawthorne hates their guts, but do you particularly
I like Hawthorne.
Do you? What about because they stopped you from kicking the ton that year? I was at that game.
No, I don't like Hawthorne, no.
Yeah, no, fair enough. What a pack of dogs,
yes, seriously.
Were you pissed off at the time, just when they, you know, dropped Ruffy back in the hole and just like, just give me a fucking go, mate?
To tell you the truth, it bothers me more now. Because it was our last game of the year, it was our Mad Monday, and we're going out, so I didn't really give a shit.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was
You already had the dildo in the kit bag.
Yeah, it was dildo in the kit bag. It was 3 days of just, we're on here.
Yeah.
And, but every time I do like a sportsman's night or something, always some dickhead always brings it up. Yeah. It's usually someone in the crowd, but not usually the host.
No, but I fucking hate Hawthorn for it.
Yeah, so I had to kick, I think Buddy had to kick two. And he was playing on Paul Bauer, so that was going to happen real early, which it did. And we'd had meetings throughout the week with the AFL about if both of us kick it at either point in time of the game that the strategy plan to run off. And with Nike had made us both 100 goal boots to put on. And so when Buddy
did
kicked
they take
his,
them off you after the game?
Or? No, I'll get to that. I hadn't put them on yet, so Buddy went down and put his on and come back out, and then. I hadn't kicked one until half-time. Half-time, I hadn't kicked any.
How many did you need?
I needed eight.
Eight.
And I kicked four in the third. I thought, oh, shit, I'm a chancy.
Yeah.
And then I kicked two real early in the last. And then Brad Fisher ran into an open goal, handballed at 40 metres backwards. And I kicked my 99th. And I still remember, it was about 3 minutes to go, and Simo had ran in and kicked a point, and Brent Carrera was kicking out. And great man, Goo, one of the lads, loves a beer. I said, mate, I'll give you $5,000 if you kick it to me. Fair enough. It's the end of the year, no one gives a shit. But for two guys to kick 100 goals in the one night...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Mate, amazing. He said, you're a fuckwit. And kicked
it out. He said, yeah, I've got my real hair. Yeah, so it's sucking you back on level pegging.
Then after what he's gone through, he probably would have needed that $5,000 too.
Well, he could have done
it. And then I wouldn't have been able to afford it because I went through the same thing. But then, yeah, that didn't happen. Kicked 99 and I went down into the rooms and then Georgie Lawler from Nike come up and goes, here, do you want your boots? No, I don't want them. I don't want my fucking 100 gold boots because I didn't kick 100. But 99 goals, still a good effort. We finished second last and I think Buddy kicked 102 when they won the flag. So, better forward.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And now you're playing a lot of country football.
See how I got that there? Yeah. That was good, yeah. Played a lot of country footy. Yarrawonga, I played up there for 4 years, coached, lived up there, won a couple of flags. They're actually playing in an elimination final right now, so hopefully they're going okay. Also playing at Deer Park now with, obviously, Ryan Hulland, I said before. We've got our grand final on Sunday at Witten Oval, so that'll be exciting.
You're up against Brian Lake? Is he out? He's
no,
out
there. He's Division 3. Yeah, we're Division 1.
Gotcha. What a hack.
Bit of a difference. So they're actually playing today in their granny, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so, looking forward to that. All three teams are in, which is good. We've got a fair side out there. We I think they won last year by 137 points in the grand final, and then I've come along to try to hang on to one, so I'm trying to get one. But we beat the team we're playing now, we beat by 100 points last week. So.
And do you wish that you were a footballer in the 80s? Like, just the attitude, your the way you... went about it,
yeah.
Was just more suited to like a more fun time.
Yes. and it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, for forwards. A lot easier.
You would have got paid fuck all, though.
So. Yeah, that's the real issue, isn't it? Yeah. So I was pretty happy where I was, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I still carved out over 200 games, which was good.
Yeah, you're still
and
cart man at heart.
Good time doing it, too.
Yeah.
Real oh, that's time. What I was going to ask. Yeah, what's your relationship like with Carlton now?
It's okay.
So you get back
I haven't
there.
Really been back, no.
Yeah,
I've
sure.
been back once, maybe.
Yeah. But you follow them, like they're your team?
Yeah, I follow them. The kids barrack for Carlton. So it's funny, my daughter Mia is 16 now, and she used to run out in the ground all the time and be at the footy club all the time. Hated it, never liked it. And now she's 16, all of a sudden she loves football for some reason. So always wants to go down the rooms and always wants to go to the football.
Yeah,
so
well, Feb Sauce connection, eh?
Yeah, yes. She's a
big fan of Jack.
Yeah, well, Jack's a big fan of her. So I did ring Sauce and say, keep him away. And he said, the Silvanis never chase. I said, neither do the Fowlers. So they'd make some good kids, wouldn't they? Mm, anyway. I did text young Jack and said keep your little texty fingers away from my daughter. Just flat out texts and Snapchats. And he said no,
really?
it's not. He goes, it's not always me. It's also Ben, the younger brother, who's
really
16. I think.
All right, but as long as they're not like Josh Bootsman style.
Has Lance Whitnell got any sons?
Yeah, he does. He does. Yes. He does.
No danger. No dangers there, obviously.
Oh, it's up to me, I suppose. It's not up to me, but yeah. Anyway, well, fuck, how do we get here?
No, let's talk about your daughter's dating relationships.
What was your favourite game at the Blues?
My first, because it's my first game. We played Collingwood at the MCG round 17-99. Simon Beaumont actually kicked 8 in the first half.
Oh, yeah? I do remember that.
I started on the ground, got one handball, and then back then there was no rotation, so I played 5 minutes, I think, or 5 or 10 minutes, and then sat on the bench for the rest of the game, so it was a fucking ripper. glad all my family and my mates all drove down from Mary Warren to watch that beauty. But that was a moment. Probably a game in Adelaide where we beat the week previous, I'd played on Fraser Gehrig and he'd kick 5 on me in the first quarter. I was playing full back.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I did that deliberately so they'd never do it ever again.
Yeah, good. It was a Pagan decision.
That was Pagan.
Feb's Paddock in the back line.
Then the next three weeks I kicked 8, 8 and 7 and Dennis come up and said, see what I did there? So no.
Don't do
nothing
it again.
Nothing to do with you, mate. Yeah. But we lost by 140 points, I think, against the Saints that day, and then we went to Adelaide. We had blokes like, I won't mention them because this is live, but we had some blokes that couldn't play. And it was Wayne Carey's 250th, actually. And they had McLeod, Ricciuto, Goodwin, Carey, Burton, Guns, Edwards. And we were 40 points down at three-quarter time. And then I'd flick some switches and kick 7 and kick 1 from the boundary and we got up and beat them. So that was probably the most memorable game.
Yeah.
We hadn't won in a state for about 10 years, I reckon. So that was a pretty memorable game.
We'll wrap it up, Fev. I know you've got to head off and you've got to enjoy your wallet. and I say in your book here, actually, we're big fans of chicken salt here at the Junk Time AFL podcast.
Yeah, and there is a
reference to chicken salt in this book about the KFC. But I reckon he's my favourite quote, and he's talking about your school years, you know, year 12 and the like. My favourite quote, which we should probably make this one a meme. It says, all my mates were dumb as dog shit. So I think that's an inspirational meme we can put on. Put that online. Can you please welcome up? Please thank Brendan Favola.
Thanks, Fev.
Thank you so much, Fev.
It's a great title, that book. Fev in my own words. I didn't even write it. No, I did. That was just a gag. Bestseller.
It was ghostwritten by Bart McCulloch.
All right, Brendan Favola.
Make sure you tune into 101.9 The Fox tomorrow and every other day, 6 till 9. Fifi, Dave and Fev. Bang.
He loves the music. He loves the music.
He does love the music. He does.
So we look at a few of the stories of the week, Adam.
Oh, well, why don't we introduce Damien? Let's get a feel for Damien's love and knowledge of the football. We sat at the Rose Hotel last Saturday, watched the brilliant Carlton Essendon game.
Oh, I've forgotten it already.
And we are. We should probably pump up the Rose Hotel in Fitzroy. The
Absolutely.
Rose, fitzroy.com.au, because they're our sponsor.
Yeah. It's a great place to watch footy. They've got all the games. They've got five screens in the front bar, and they haven't kicked me out yet. So
and they play the song after a win. And also, now I'm saying this out loud, I kind of realise maybe we should have held the podcast there.
Yeah. I did think that when we got the sponsorship. I was like, this is going to be awkward bringing up at another bar, but that's fine. We love the European Beer Cafe as well. But
European Beer Cafe might be able to match their sponsorship.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, you're some sort of Essendon supporter.
I am, well, we're all the same sort.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shit.
We're just tired.
Yeah.
Just tired of having to explain it. Used to be fine to be this in support. Of these, you
know. Are you excited about next year, though? You're going to be a fucking good team next year, aren't you?
And the number one pick.
And Jaeger O'Meara.
No, I'm embracing the pessimism that's shrouded the club for the last 5 years. And I think we'll be below expectations.
Great. 17th, you're aiming for 17th?
Oh, yeah. If we can play over the wooden spoon against Brisbane again, that'd be great.
Gee, that's really fucking depressing talking to you, don't
mate? It is,
Now, tell us your footy pedigree, because you've travelled around a fair bit. You love your country footy. Yeah, you do a lot of shows about
kind
country
weird
football.
Kind of weird that you started with Feb, really, with my footy pedigree. What would you call the journeyman? I played all over the country.
What position? What kind of position were you?
All over the field as
well. Yeah, okay. Utility?
Utility,
is that what you call you?
If I was on a footy card, it would have been maybe with a footy in both hands and utility.
Two footies?
Yeah, two footies.
Yeah, okay.
That was my specialty.
Yeah.
You just see me out there and I go, I got two footies? Yes. So I played for the North Darwin Magpies. I played for the Southeast Queensland Institute Eagles, I think they were now. They're the Cougars now.
Really? They changed from the Eagles?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Cougars in Outback. Well, sorry. There probably are.
There's fuck all Cougars in the Darling Downs. I don't know why they changed to it.
Can I ask a question? Didn't you once get kicked in the head or something?
I totally got kicked in the head, I think I was not a combative footballer.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't shy, but I didn't enjoy the punch part of the game.
So,
but the first game you play for a club is always the moment where you've got to go.
You got to show yourself.
You got to show your colours. So I was playing for a White Phrase here in the Amateurs, and I came down with a mate. So no one really knew me at this point. First game, we were playing down against Peninsula Grammar. I was playing a bit shit, to be honest.
Was it your coach that kicked you in the head?
He wanted to.
Yeah.
He wanted to. Anyway, so I found myself in that situation where a fight starts. I think, oh shit, I'm the closest to it. And it was a little bloke being picked on by a massive unit from their side.
Yeah.
And while I didn't like... I was a pacifist with a strong sense of social justice.
Oh, fuck. That plays well on the footy field. Yeah.
It's the worst combination.
Has a footballer ever used that term?
Yeah.
Like, do you think if ever's walking out, I'm a pacifist with a strong sense of social justice?
Yeah, that's how I shake hands with the opponent.
Anyway, that's what Barry Hall said just before he snapped Staker.
Yeah. Together we'll journey to Nirvana.
So I found myself between these two, just kind of like going, yeah, mate, you know, what are you doing? He's only a little fella.
Yeah.
And then I'll never forget, he looked at me and he took a step backwards, which was an unusual thing to do in a fighting situation. It was only to give himself enough room to do a roundhouse kick to the head. And the umpire was only about 5 metres away, didn't report him. And I just went down and I did that.
Well, if the ball's not there, it's not kicking in danger. So I don't know what you're whinging about.
Exactly.
So you got kicked in the head.
Kicked in the head.
Karate style.
Kind of in the side of the jaw, and it tore the ligaments in my jaw. It didn't get broken, but... And I went down.
Oh, you went down soft.
No, worse than that. I did that thing. You know when I could hear the fight breaking out? I wasn't knocked out, but I just kind of lay there just while the fight happened around me. And I came back in at halftime, and I didn't take me off either. I just got up and kept playing.
Come in to remonstrate with the big guy for?
Yeah, there was a big fight happened afterwards. But
I was
lying on the ground with my eyes closed, just pretending to be unconscious. Got up and kept playing. I played better. And
good.
Ray King, the coach, is this classic old army drill sergeant coach. And he goes, "They should fucking kick you in the head every week. Go and play much better after that."
Damo, were you familiar with the Twitter chat AskGil, hashtag AskGil during the week? So Gil McLaughlin, Australia's favourite CEO, got online and made one of the worst decisions of his life by letting people randomly ask him questions.
Right.
How did that go badly?
We had a bit of fun. There was a fair bit of hate going at him too. And he did... Yeah, answered a couple, but I weren't.
Well, particularly Western Bulldogs fans were angry about having a Thursday night final.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like now they're fucking, they've won one flag and now they're fucking uppity.
Yeah, but it's weird. But it's funny though, yeah. too, because there's a thing going around online. People are saying, we've got to take 2 days off work to go and watch the games. Like, well, the supporters don't work. So it's just, you're just picking up your check in a different doll, obviously, really. So this is a good one from Adam, because we thought we'd get involved.
Yeah.
From Adam, has Dipper announced anyone's death this week?
Because you know, he announced Ben Cousins was dead.
Yeah.
On Twitter,
and that's slightly retracted, didn't he?
Well, a few people came back.
Because it's a day by day proposition, yeah. too. So. Yeah.
Well, that's fucking too
Shut
harsh.
Up. But there was another.
He's got it ready to load again.
yeah. It's in his draft.
It's just refresh. Yeah. There was another Book Week controversy in Perth this week as well, because there was a dad... Fucking Book Week... Book Week? How fucking big is it in Perth?
Who did you go as Book Week? I think I went as Ned Kelly. I don't even remember a Ned Kelly book at the time, but I remembered going as that. And I went as a swagman.
Just a generic swagman.
The restaurant. Although, I went as the restaurant.
Just with the Bain Marie around you. Oh, I like it. Yeah.
I went as the, is it Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey, the male? Yeah. But I had to get five girls on a leash, so it was tricky. I'll shut up.
I went as the entire first Indigenous cricket touring team to England. There was no... this was the 70s. There was no
yeah.
You won the first prize.
I just couldn't work out how I...
Yeah.
I did all 11.
I kept coming out as a different one.
So. I went as Fev's mates, who were dumb as dog shit, from the book there. Let me see. I have a friend called Travis who wanted to go to the Melbourne show in 2013, but his car got broken into. Can I get a retweet? Have you ever put a car key in Schooner? That was a good one.
Hang on, can we just talk about Trav quickly? He'll be closer to the Royal Melbourne Show if he goes to Footscray.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean,
he couldn't go to the Royal Melbourne Show. We've discussed it on the podcast before, but just
a couple
to keep
of
up
times.
Speed. Yeah. His car got broken into, and he posted a photo of it on Instagram and said, "No Melbourne Show, hashtag no Melbourne Show for me today."
So you know it's moving when it's put in a hashtag.
Yeah.
Poor guy. But there are a few teams that are talking about him. Baggers, they might be in the play for him as well.
No, we're not.
The public transport system is excellent to the Melbourne show. You can catch the tram or the train.
Trav never had to get public transport.
Yeah, right.
No. That's the thing. I mean, we literally, by the way, geotags himself. Like, you literally know where he lives. Yeah. So we could have told him what public transport.
Yeah. just a screenshot of tram tracker.
Yeah.
Have you ever had coaches over dinner? Did you think, shit, who invited Rocket?
You know what you do? You should do a live Junktown podcast at the show and get Trav Gloak as a guest. Just surrounded by show
bags.
Yeah,
just a lot of parents.
And inflatable hammers. And
a lot of parents getting their kids away from it. What's a bakaki, Mum?
Don't worry.
You'll know when you're older. Yeah. And you meet a Japanese businessman. Here's one. Why are there no souvlaki huts at any AFL venues? That's actually a pretty important question. That's a powerful question.
It could have helped Cooter out a little bit, you know. It's one of their favourite sons.
Have you ever touched a man's wallet or wife? That's a classic. That's a classic. I don't think Gil would be a wife toucher. I don't think he'd be a wallet toucher. I think he'd be a Grange toucher.
Grange toucher.
Claret. Is 37 degrees in Wayne Grata, as described by Liam Pickering, the perfect condition for football? Who's your favourite comedian? Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K. or Ricky Nixon? They're all great. They're all great questions. Shall we get our next special guest up?
Absolutely. You reckon he's champing at the bit to come up here once he's seen what the show's about?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very special guest. He's got his new book out there, right there. Adam actually pointed out before, he said, it looks like he's passed away. But just by it's there. But
He's not.
It looks quite impressive.
Yeah. It's not focused.
Yeah. You know him, you love him. Please welcome on stage, Mark Bummer Thompson.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark. Hi, man.
Look at this. I'm not dead. I'm here.
No.
Football royalty.
I didn't like the photo either much, but the lady over there from the book company, that was her idea.
Made you do it.
Made me sit there and look dead.
Unbelievable.
Did you get to pick the actual photo? Was there a whole spread and you went that
way? 8 hours to take that dead photo.
Yeah.
Can I ask the very first question, if that's okay?
Go for it, mate.
And you're Michael.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Mark.
You're Adam.
I am.
You're Damo. David. Damo. Yeah.
Damo. Yeah. Got to shorten it.
I wish I had gone in the middle. They're going to mad. Michael. Adam. Damien.
We can switch. Do you want to switch? We'll switch. We'll make it easy for you.
You ever done it before? Switched?
There you go.
There we go.
Have you?
This is first time.
I can just read your jokes. This is good.
Oh, yeah.
Your
the show's completely changed. Oh, shit. Quick question. Where were you at 2:30 a.m. on the morning of Saturday, July 23?
Is that the night?
Were you in the Ascot Bay of the city? And my follow-up question is, once you found out that he was okay, was it pretty fucking hilarious?
I was by myself in bed. I had no alibi. Okay. By myself. When I heard he got shot, I thought, yeah, that's about right. Actually, I probably shouldn't have said that. If
no, right. That's all right. No one heard it. No one heard it. No. Do you still talk to Danky? Do you still talk to Danky?
Danky? Dankster. Yeah,
the Dankster. The Dankmeister.
Haven't spoken to him for a while now. I've spoken to him, be a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When it was all happening, and I just said, look, you know, don't worry about all this other rubbish, mate. Just find time to talk to the players and just ask them. Now they want to know what you got.
Yeah, yeah, what was in them. Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters to them. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And, he didn't do it.
Yeah. What about the weapon? You still talk to weapon? Have you ever seen him at a rodeo?
I've heard about his rodeo work.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You haven't seen any photos or haven't seen
I have seen
vision?
Photos, yes.
Really?
Yes,
really?
Yes, he's got photos.
In the chat.
Of course he's got photos of himself doing things.
It's the weapon.
The weapon. Yeah. Look at him.
Is that how he makes his living now, just full-time rodeo work? Or?
Well, he's a former rodeo rider. So he's gone back to it.
He's got trained up to be a rodeo rider, didn't he, in America.
And thanks, he's now a rodeo clown. Actually, I heard that someone from the Russian shooting team got sacked after the Dank shooting incident.
Where was that? Where did that take place?
I'm not going to divulge my sources.
So was it this time of year that you miss being a part of the Geelong Mad Monday celebration? Like, did you ever dress up?
Did you go?
Did you go to them?
I went. I never dressed up. I'm not one for dress-ups.
Oh, that's disappointing.
But then...
Were you impressed by their dress-ups, like their levels of it, when you saw it in the paper the next day? Like, that's pretty... Actually, you were there.
I thought Matthew Scala, the day he turned up as Kevin Bartlett, was just special. You know, someone who would actually go to the length of shaving his head.
Yeah.
Just put a smile on some of his teammates' face is a pretty good effort.
Matthew. Apparently Fev went as Charlotte Bronte one year.
How funny was Fev? I thought, how am I going to follow him? How am I going to follow Fev?
No, you can follow
Fev. I've done nothing stupid in my life. You know?
So I wouldn't bother buying that then.
Yeah, he'd done some stuff.
He sure has. Now,
what's the most Fev thing you ever did then? Oh, is there a moment that you...
No, I
is there
can't.
No
is
Mad
there
Mondays?
A wild bummer?
I've never weed anywhere, really. I've caught in public. Worn around, you know, with a thing
strap
hanging.
Strap on,
Was it there or there?
It was down. Yeah. It was down where the penis should be, yeah. He's not an idiot.
Not a dickhead.
Yeah.
It was footy better back in the 80s, back when you were playing.
It was what?
Footy better. Like, we talked about, would Fev fit into the 80s kind of style?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Are you talking about lifestyle of the football or the game or what aspect of football
why don't we go
are you
both?
Talking about? Why? How much time we got?
We've got hours.
We've got hours.
We've got hours, Bob. You're not going anywhere.
Is the game more entertaining?
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, it is. But it's a different game. I still like the old game where there's lots of contests and there's not as many people around the ball. And the ball moves from area to area. And that's what we like, using the whole field. They sort of play like Auskick now a bit, didn't they? Everyone just learned from Auskick just to follow the ball.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone just runs around.
Did you hate the Paul Roos, the Ross Lyon era when it came into contested footy, just like, you know, everyone clustered around the ball? Did you just...
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was boring.
Because really in your book you talked about wanting to make your team attacking and fun to watch.
Yeah. I think we get paid as coaches the whole game is about having a passion and falling in love with something that you can call your own, your team. And for that to happen, you've actually got to enjoy watching them.
Yeah.
And it's got to be entertaining.
Absolutely. And I reckon that is your legacy, John.
Thank you, mate.
Your game became so much better to watch than other...
Thank you.
When you had a cattle do it.
That's very nice of the Nesson supporter to say that.
Yeah.
Do you consider the 2000? Do you consider the 2011 premiership yours?
I think I should take some credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you retired.
How much
in
of a reckon, percentage?
Oh, like 92.
I reckon it might be a bit much.
A bit much, really? Yeah. But you set that team up. You quit and you.
But it had nothing to do with them for a whole year. I didn't even
But you got Ablett out of there. It was fucking, he was dead weight.
Dead weight. Yeah, they won and won without him and
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Might have got me out of the joint. Might have been that helped win them.
How exciting was that first premiership?
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was. If you're not from Geelong or don't support them and gone through the heartache of the misery that they had in grand final losses, you don't sort of really comprehend it. But it's a long time, 44 years, and it'll be like, maybe like Melbourne when they win one, or Bulldogs. It's massive, you know. These people invested so much time and their passion and their enthusiasm and their life, you know, to their game and to their club. So when that happened at Geelong, it was one of the best days of my life.
Were they more passionate than, like, Essendon? I mean, they're a strongly followed club, but they're a suburb of Melbourne, whereas Geelong is its own town.
Its own town.
And so does that make it a little bit more, like, step up, as in the how the club goes is how the town feels, sort of thing?
Yes, yep.
I mean, they made Cameron Lee mayor. I mean, fucking hell.
50% of the town.
Terrible decision.
Well, now he's on TV. Can you believe that, even?
Now they've got Darren Lyons, and he was playing in the midfield for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. Geelong, there's 50% of the people who live in Geelong don't support Geelong. They're all Carlton, Essendon fans. But I can tell you that when Geelong won that time, that the whole city was proud of their team.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of it's a different sort of feel. There's a competitiveness when they play other teams, but as a collective, like, their town won. They won the national competition.
Yeah,
it was
right.
A great statement.
So just good, massive sense of pride about them.
Yeah, they just pride.
In 2007, you were obviously you won by about 130 points.
Was it 119, was it? How much was it?
I think 119?
Yeah, I think I got it right.
There we go. So that must be a great way to coach a grand final. For your first grand final as well, you kind of can eat a salad sandwich maybe during the third quarter.
If I had one, I probably could have, because there wasn't much to do. But
what do you tell the players? You're 90 points up at three-quarter time. What do you tell them?
I told them to just win with humility, because so many times you see teams get in a winning position and they just take, you know, the other team just score 3 or 4 goals and the game sort of becomes nothing at the end.
Yeah.
But I just begged them. I said, just play, you know. Port Adelaide deserved to be beaten by 6 goals this quarter. I said, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to finish the game off quality so that people can walk away and say, what an effort, you know. It was like superb from start to finish.
And what about 09? How does that compare to 07? Is there one that you favour more than the other? Like, one was maybe a kind of a tougher achievement?
Well, I worked all day until about the last minute of the game against St Kilda. They probably had the better of us, which sometimes happens, and their conditions suited them because they were, like, coached by Rossy Lyon, who just made it really boring and scrappy and ugly and couldn't get a kick.
That's
and,
not the Ross Lyon, I know.
Couldn't score goals, there's no ads.
I blame the weather.
Money coming into football because there's no ads. we struggled. I think they scored one goal in a half of football, which is never, ever going to win you a grand final. And it's the problem with Ross's teams.
And that's the kind of from reading your book, is you just said, all we need to do is, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but just kick more than them. But if you kick 10 goals, you go, we're probably going to beat this team because they just don't kick goals. They just try and choke the opposition. Was that a horrible thing to coach against?
Yeah, well, it is. It's I loved it when we started to break them up. When these guys had this bulletproof game plan, defensive game plan, they just locked the ball in, you know. If we didn't win it back, at least there'd be a stoppage, you know, so they don't win it. And I thought, once we started breaking through, I thought, look at these idiots. They don't know how to play anymore. Like, once it goes out of their comfort zone, they were right out of it. They didn't know how to. We had a bit of an edge there for a while. And kicking goals is, well, what do you play the game for? You play the game to get the ball in your hands, have a kick.
Yeah.
And if you can kick a goal, fantastic.
Yeah,
imagine
absolutely.
Kicking a goal on MCG. You know, and you see boys go, oh, yeah.
Or a point, you know, in Tom Hawkins' case. I mean, it's still a goal.
Do you reckon that St Kilda team, who dominated for most of that year?
They finished 20-2 for the year.
Do you reckon with a different coach they would have been a better team, or did he get them up too?
Oh, he got them up. He's a good winning coach. Like, look at his stats. He wins. But, my God, I wouldn't like to play for it. It wouldn't be much fun. And I reckon that's a... You've got to turn up and do something for so much of your life, and you expect football to be fun. It's a game, and it's all it is. And these guys, you see it as a game, don't you? Your team playing a game of footy.
Yeah.
And that's why I always approach it with my players. Always made it feel like, for them, that it wasn't work. It was a game.
So you should maybe keep toys out in the ground.
So,
well, some of them would really be pretty handy. Yeah, they'd like that, you know.
In that case, is coaching fun?
Coaching's not much fun. No. Yeah. No.
Just too much of your life?
Yeah, it totally absorbs you. I reckon one day soon they should just put the money in researching this thing about coaching and just getting some balance in their life, because ultimately it affects you. It chews you up. It gobbles you up and it turns you into someone like me, you know?
So say you played on a Saturday. How much time... was there a period from the next game that you played, say, on the next Saturday, that you didn't think about footy?
Tell you what, when we won a game of football, you'd talk to your players, you'd sing the song, and you'd say, yah, rah, rah, well done, you know, we just won by 20 goals again, you know?
Yeah.
And then you'd be on the next week. So there's no...
So straight away.
Straight away, you know? It's just... because that's that competitive thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The football clubs have got teams of people that try and plan against you, and it's a pretty full-on job. But you know, I was saying that, like, there's no reason why coaches need to work 80 hours a week. There's no reason why they can't go home and have dinner with their wives, and while they're having dinner with their wife and kids, that they can actually be engaged in the conversation rather than still thinking about football. That's where it got to me with me.
Yeah.
It was taking over my life.
Is there things that we can do to make it more fun for the coaches? Like, instead of press conferences, like, have a quiz, get both of them there and ask some questions about the game?
Yeah. Well, I reckon that would be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Be more
especially if you won.
Particularly in those belt teams where... yeah.
There's a controversial umpire decision and they've actually got my team over the line and then they ask you some questions about that.
Yeah,
right there.
That'll do.
Do you like the other coaches?
That wouldn't work.
No.
Do you get along with all the other coaches? Yeah, like, if you went to Gil's place for dinner, like, is anyone you go, I'm not fucking talking to him.
Is there a community of bond?
And what's his name?
I never had anyone that I didn't like.
Yep.
But I never really had anyone I spoke to. It was like, it's like there's little cliques now with the North Melbourne clique with Clarkson and Longmire and... who else is in that little mix? There's a whole group of them. And Hardwick's in there because of the Hawthorn thing. And I've just been independent. And like Sheeds was one of mine. Yeah, I talked to Sheeds.
Yeah.
Pagan, I did, but only if you had an affiliation. But Lee Matthews was an interesting one. Lee Matthews would not talk to me. I tried to talk to him when I was coaching. Because I wanted to learn off him. Love him. One of the most brilliant football people ever. And he doesn't waste words now. He just says it the way it is. And I just listen to him and say, you're right. You know? He's always right.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So I tried to sort of say, well, you know, I'm planning to build my team up to beat yours.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Can you help me do it?
Yeah, you want a bar of it.
No.
But you were, in your book, you say that he was like a psychopath player, wasn't he? Like he ran, stood on your back one day?
He walked over you.
Yeah, he did. In one of my early games, I got to play on him. How lucky was I?
Yeah. Was he a scary
proposition? Of him.
So you're 18 and you got Lee Matthews.
Yeah,
massive
he was
legs.
A bit sour because he was slowing up and they get, you know, just they get beat a few times. They get a bit violent and they did. But, I got him back, which is okay. But, you know, the funny thing is, when Lee Matthews retired from coaching, it was almost like the competitive thing between us was over. And I was sitting there, walking up in this function, I was all Australian function. He goes there. He said, Bomber, he came up to me. I said, hey, this Lee Matthews coming up to me. He said, how you going, you know? Like, geez, your team's good. I love watching your team play. I go, what's going on here? No, and I realised that while we're opposition coaches and opposition players, so competitive.
Right? Yeah, right.
And I love him even more now because of that. You know, it's great.
We'll wrap it up shortly, but I'm thinking, what are you thinking about the bye week? Something we should hang around?
I just loved it. I fell asleep this afternoon. I was reading a book and on the iPad, and my eyes got heavy. I said, yeah, this will do. Let's go.
Now, can I just ask, like, obviously you were, I haven't finished all the book, so I'm up to the part where you finished at Geelong, so I don't know what happened after that. But
oh, geez, that guy. I wish the chapters had been a bit different.
Yeah, so, yeah. I can imagine, have you ever stayed at Craig Lambert's during the week?
No, I have not. I don't know Craig that well, and I've never stayed at his house.
Well, at Lethal, have you ever?
So, With the Asada thing, like they were saying that he didn't let Asada know that he wasn't going to be staying at his house. Does that mean if you're a football player and you meet a young lady when you're out at night,
that
you have
happen.
To give Asada a call and go, hey, fellas, yeah.
I've got
yeah, I'm doing all right, mate. Yeah. I'm doing all right. I'm not at home.
Hey, what's your address again? Where am I?
I don't know the address, but she's pretty
I'll
hot.
Here. I'll be here for how long am I going to be here?
I'm going to do around about 4:30. So, but the players...
The level of degree you got to go to, eh?
Yeah.
Just stay clean.
Asada need a place where you can take people back to.
Oh, yeah.
Just an agreed venue.
A caravan.
Caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring you a Asada caravan. You can do it there.
Have you right? What, buddy? Okay, come on in again. You're always here.
Now, in your book, you've coached a couple of tough losses. You said that the 2005 semi-final hurt more than the 2008 grand final. Why is that? Like,
that game, we're in front for the whole thing. It was against Sydney, up in Sydney.
Yeah.
And it was a final, and we were just coming up, and we were in front, as I said, and there was about a minute and a half to go. We had players who were injured. We had players on the ground that were playing sore, and we just gave everything we had. And the last 30 seconds was the most brilliant game. It's a football, not classical to watch, but you got Corey and even Ablett, you know, chucking his whole body on the ball, like Geelong players, so committed to win. There was a ball up, 13 seconds to go on the clock. I've got the clock in front of me, but the runner on the ground, and I could just see what was going. 16 players were in screen on the TV when I watch it back, and I've watched probably a lot. And by the time the umpire got the ball and balled it up, we had Scarlett, we had Milburn, we had Enright, we had Ling, all my good players just being walked away. Now, the one thing you do at a stoppage in the back 50 when there's only 13 seconds to go is you just get to where the ball is, you know? And we just got Matthew Scarlett aside, my best player. I'm like, I rate him as a footballer and as footy smart, not intellectually smart, Matthew, but football smart, yes.
Yeah.
And he walked with Barry Hall or whoever he was playing on and decided to go and become a goalkeeper.
Yeah. However, if Barry Hall said to me, come over here, I'd be like,
I'd be wanting to get away from that.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Yeah. So what happened was that there was four people near the ball by the time they were thrown up. Jolly hit the ball. Josh Hunt, as he usually does, like he gets goals kicked on him sometimes, got blocked. Davis threw, didn't take possession, bang, 3 seconds. And
was that crushing in the box?
Oh, yeah, I was going nuts.
Yeah.
I was going, don't get fucking walked away. Don't get walked away, stay at the contest. Tell the runner, and the runner was on the ground, obviously, and he didn't do anything. And we lost that game, and I was ready to rip heads off. And the fact is that I don't know why I did it, but
I was going to ask you about that. You didn't give him a spray because you talked about Kevin Sheedy giving the Essendon players a spray in 96.
I've witnessed that. He didn't miss anyone.
Right.
Even got Hurdy that day, you know, which was big. You know, Hurdy didn't sort of get too many.
Never.
Never.
Ah. No,
that was the only one, I think, apart from the last 3 years.
Had a really, really long one.
Well, a bit of catch up. And I didn't. What I said to the players, instead of saying, you know, how disappointed I was and how much we messed up, I said, all we've got to work on is 3 seconds and 3 points, boys. I said, we've done a lot of work here, and that's all we have to work on to be, top team. So I think in the end, no one likes criticism. And if that Davis had got the ball and kicked a point even, won the game, our mood would have been completely different.
Yeah,
and your mood as a supporter going home would have been completely different. Footy's a game of margins. Mm.
Have you ever said stuff to players that you have regretted?
Rarely, yeah. Said a few things about Gazza that I probably shouldn't have when his contract was up. But
Do you talk now?
Oh, we do talk, yeah. But I don't talk to anyone really that regularly. Yeah. Scarlett sends me sort of photos of himself sometimes. at weird times.
Not Josh Bootsman style.
Yeah.
But he's a bit weird to go home.
And do you talk to Hurdy?
Yeah, I've spoken to him a few times.
Okay. How's your relationship? Like, a bit weird?
No, it's okay. I don't think he's that happy with me, what took place. But coming from where he's looking at it, but where I'm looking at it, that's why I did it. And, I'm pretty honest. I'm pretty direct. I've taken responsibility for what I think and I'm trying to talk the truth. I'm not going to talk. Anyone sort of is going to influence me on what to say. I'm just saying what I seen. And I don't fudge it. I don't try and make our situation look better. It's just what I seen.
And are you still friends with people at Essendon, like after everything that went down?
Not many.
Yeah, okay.
Players, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Players ring me all the time and talk to me. And Hurley come around and said, what should I do? And I said, well, just do what you want to do, mate. You know, and yeah. They said, you've got that right after the way you've been treated. And he stayed, which is great. But,
yeah.
But as far as the people, I felt like we were... I felt like for a couple of years, Hurdy and I felt like we were trying to get our clubs to defend our players. We couldn't understand why when Asada came into the players and their parents of the players and said, you're not going to be charged on this AOD. Okay? And another guy come up and said, it's not harmful to you either. Huh? That's fine. Huh? Back before one person had been interviewed. How, when all the muck got started, the propaganda, why Essendon didn't try and stop it.
Yeah.
They actually were part of it. Huh? Our own people are supposed to be taking care of the players. That's the responsibility you get when you're a coach, when you're a board member. You can take kids from all over Australia, 18. You're highly influential. You're responsible. And they just do this to them. I couldn't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand why.
So were they trying to protect the brand too much rather than looking after the kids that were at the footy club?
Well, what have the kids got? They've got 4 years of hell.
Yeah.
Like some nights I was coaching them and at training and all of a sudden they just couldn't kick. They couldn't handball this night. You know, for a week. Couldn't play. Couldn't think. I'd send them home. It's because so-called letters were coming, they heard. You know? We've actually taken away these guys' ability to play the game at the best that they possibly could play at. 4 years of it. That's like a career. It's bad.
But, I mean, you got fined $30,000, which is what we're paying you tonight. So...
swings, roundabouts.
You have to do a lot of... Did you say $30,000 or $30?
$30. If everyone chips in, this gold coin donation would be great. So would you ever coach again? Like when Brisbane's on the radar, is that, do you even consider it or you just go, I'm cooked, I'm done, I couldn't do it again? Could put my family, my loved ones through this again?
I couldn't, and but you can never say that because you just don't know. And it's a silly question to ask, really.
Sorry.
Like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. I'm a fucking moron. Sorry. I'm
just dumb as dog.
I grew up with Fev. I'm as dumb as dog shit.
Adam feels better. Will you ever play again?
You can't win answering that question, can you?
Yeah.
You cannot win. It's one of those questions that which when you answer it, you get it wrong. Because if you lie and you go back and coach, then they'll call you a liar.
And what are your favourite premierships? Are they the ones as a player or a coach?
2007 clearly is mine.
Yeah, that's the one.
Big one.
So you got Geelong out of the hole, out of the mire, got him a flag.
Got the flag.
And hero of the town.
I was the hero.
Yeah.
And so I really love being the hero.
So you could speed through primary schools doing 65, go, wouldn't matter whatever, mate. I just want a flag. Yeah.
Tried to get everything in Geelong without paying for it, everything.
Right.
Just tried to really, just get what I deserve to get in Geelong. Yeah.
And your favourite one as a player?
84.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was...
So you're behind at three-quarter time.
Yeah, it was a nine-goal last quarter.
It's incredible.
Sheedy came out at three-quarter time. This is his second grand final, or Bobby's third grand final defeat in a row. He was second, facing down 84. 22 points down three-quarter time. Come on the ground saying, oh, boys, well done, you know, we're playing so well. And we're sort of looking at ourselves saying, does he know we're 22 points down? But by the time he changed the side from half the backs to forward the backs and got us going, we actually believed that we were playing okay. And hence the reason why he's such a great coach and I'm standing here today is because he has got balls and he did it his way. He would have got the sack probably if he had lost two grand finals in a row to Hawthorn doing that stupid act of trying to change a team around. Yeah. When a forward's going to become backs.
Yeah. It's not Oz kick, buddy.
It's not Oz kick, Kev. You know, like, didn't you learn anything at Richmond?
Did you play well in that last quarter?
I did.
You kicked a goal, didn't you?
I kicked a good goal.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Well, I never kicked many good goals. Yeah. This is a good goal. That's like a goal in the grand final to get him 7 points down. And Merv Nagles, I was going to pass it off because I didn't really want to kick it.
Yeah.
I was only young and had no confidence. He said, go back and just kick the goal.
Yeah.
And I did. I thought it was a good goal.
Yeah.
We will wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming, guys. Big round of applause for Bomber Thompson.
Thank you
so much for joining us. Bomber's book is available in all good bookshops.
It's a great book. A great book.
Round of applause for our friend Damien Callinan right here. And our other guest, Brendan Favola. We are JunkTimeAFLPod@gmail.com on Facebook and on Twitter. And also, if you're a cheeky little thing, you guys can avoid the $8 charge. We've got our cheeky little stubby holders up there. I Heart the Footbridge and it's a Gatorade Bukkake time. Over there for 10 bucks.
Stubby holders out the back, come up after the show, say good day, grab yourself a stubby holder. Yep. And also, just to announce now, we will be doing a post-grand final show with the guys from Two Guys, One Cup on the Sunday after the grand final. Venue to be confirmed, probably going to be at our favourite pub, the European Beer Cafe, and also the Rose Hotel. So, guys, thank you so much for coming out. Have a brilliant afternoon, and good on you. Cheers.
Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.